Planning Commission meeting. Today's date is, what, January 26th? We'll go ahead and get started on the agenda. Roll call. We have Kelvin Johns, Wade Ingram, Lenny Hartle, Devin Squires.
Lyndon Prime.
Yeah, sorry, I just said hi to Lyndon too. And
hey, it's all right. Just don't call me Daryl.
I almost did. That was why I slowed down.
Yeah, I might leave if you did that.
I know Daryl better than I know you. So. And Lyndon, we welcome Lyndon.
Appreciate it.
Bryant, he was just appointed at the last meeting that the town had for town council. Next on the agenda is approval of minutes. Give everybody a chance to read through them if they haven't already. And if there are any adjustments, you probably ought to talk through that, if there's anything that needs to be revised.
Exactly what happened back in October, right?
I wasn't here, but apparently I had questions.
I don't even remember where I was. But I wasn't here.
Yeah, you were gone too.
So yeah. I apologize.
Yeah, the two you two were both excused last time, so
Tyler.
But you had questions.
Yeah, no,
Does say you had a couple questions.
Yeah, though. Funny, huh? Yeah, they were just on the
joined display. Electronically, or
no? Those were some questions that were brought up.
Yeah. Tyler brought them up
that you would pose through your visions. Everybody had a chance to look at them? Any revisions that anybody has? Okay.
I would make a motion that we approve the meeting minutes of October 27th,
2025.
You
have a motion? A second?
I'll second.
So Wade made the motion and Kelvin seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next, we have annual review of conditional use permits. I think those are listed in the back of the packet, last page.
My comment was, do we have the actual address? This looks like the mailing address.
Yeah, those are mailing addresses.
Because, looking down here, one of them is in Monroe and Washington.
Yeah, the people who run the rental down here are the Washington address. So these are all mailing addresses. When we approved the initial business licenses, they all had local addresses, but then these are mailing addresses.
Okay.
That are listed here. Because I know, there's a couple things like that are listed.
So these are all, these have been previously approved?
Yes.
And we're just
reissuing? These are just renewals.
Okay, sweet.
Is what these are.
Has there been any issues with any of them?
Not that I'm aware of. Is anybody aware of any kind of issue?
Not that I know of.
I haven't heard anything.
I know last year we had a couple that we dealt with some issues. The only thing I can think of is As I look at this list, I see Justin Short has a few different businesses listed here, and I don't know that he's living at the house. So
is he not there anymore?
No.
Is his wife?
His wife is.
Does she have? She has the horse place.
She has the horses place and stuff, and like for instance, the one that's listed down on 32, Red Rock Mobile Tires. His trailer's there, but he doesn't live there. He parks it out front of the house. So, you know, that's the only one that I can see that maybe there's a question. But nobody's complained about it at this point.
So, is he gone permanently, or is it a trial basis?
I don't know the exact nature, but my understanding is that it's a permanent thing.
I don't have a question on these particular, but one similar is Prescott Trucking and Zeker Transportation. We have restrictions on where they can park and when and how often.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that guy at the church is parked there every night and abandons the trailer at the town hall for a week or two at a time.
So which one do you get? Prescott Trucking?
Number 24 and 28.
And 28? Are those the...
Which one is it that leaves his trailer there?
It's neither one of these two.
So what you're saying is they're following the rules.
We have restrictions on these two.
But he is not.
They can't park on the shoulder. Or they can only park once in a quarter.
This guy right here that bought the Browns, I think I've seen his trailer parked there, but he brings his truck and parks his truck here at the house, right here across the street.
Oh. So we need to have
I can't remember his last name, but his first name's Devin. I can't remember his
first name. Not Squire.
No. No.
You got another business going, Devin?
Yeah, that's a different hat.
The other one that parks over there is Josh Clark.
So we got to make it similar rules on all.
They live outside of town, out at
Hepler's Pond
Road. There is where Josh lives, but I don't know how much longer they'll be living there. Since she passed away, word is that house will get sold, but I don't know how long that's going
to
take.
Yeah, they had a reverse mortgage, and they were allowed to stay there for 9 months after.
Okay. And she passed away, what,
four months ago.
Yeah. So.
And all the Zeker Transportation, Derek Boozy, there's no more transportation. The truck's there, but no trailer. It hasn't moved for ever. So. Oh.
You said my question was transportation. What's the city's ordinance for parking?
I think you can only park there once a quarter. Or
On the city street? Or
yeah. And if he's going to park longer, it has to be on the private side.
When you say the private side, the paved side over there?
On his property, not down right away.
Okay. Where does he live?
Across the street from Wade.
Derek?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he always just parks it right out front, but they quit doing that a while ago.
Okay. So do we need to do anything about the trucks that have been parking there? Is a reminder to them that they shouldn't be doing that? Or do we need a town letter sent to them? I mean, what do you think?
We ought to look up the conditions, I guess, on these ones and set them as precedent, since that's what we've done. Let the other ones know that that's what the rule is.
Okay. And okay. Because we only have two of them on here, and we know that there's at least another two that possibly are leaving, dropping trailers there because they've seen other people do them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just need to call out who those other two are, I guess, and
they're almost the same for all.
Yeah. So I think, you know, one would be Josh Clark, and the other one is, who'd you say moved into the Browns?
I can't remember the last name.
Okay.
We could look on the land use map. Or the county record.
The county records.
So do we have four total?
That four that
can
I
just
think
have
of.
Tina pull them and make sure they're all the same?
Well, only two of them. Two of them are on this list. The other two don't have business licenses.
Oh, Rover. Rover. That sounds right.
Kevin Rover?
Yeah. That sounds right. Yep.
Thank you, Tyler.
I was getting there.
So, again, I think we have her send it to all four, and the two that they may, and again, they may not be their own businesses. They may just be driving for somebody else, and dropping the and bringing the trailer home.
That's the case. They need to leave it at the
they
yard.
They need to leave them at the yard instead of bringing them over. Where they don't have a, they're not running a business in town.
So name the two that are here.
Yeah, so the two that are on here is going to be Zyker Transportation number 28.
Okay.
And let's see.
24.
Prescott Trucking.
Okay.
Yeah, Prescott Trucking.
And you want us to check on Josh Clark and Devin Grover?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we have to just send them a letter telling them what the rules are, regardless of whether they have the business license or not.
Okay.
And that they shouldn't be bringing trailers into town.
Okay.
They should leave them at their yards.
Or if they're a business, they should get a business license and then adhere to those rules.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, there is another one that's on here, and that's, he doesn't park over there, though, Hafen Enterprises. He's another trucking company that is in town, but like I said, he doesn't park over there at the church. Is there any other ones that are on here? We may just send it to Hafen Enterprises as well, just so that he's included in what, just a reminder of what the rules are.
Yeah, no problem.
Green Sweep has trucks, but he doesn't ever bring them to town, I don't think.
Who's that? He don't park them out in the road either. I've never seen him park down there.
Who's that?
Josh at Maine's in the Green Sweep.
Yeah.
He's at a yard somewhere, I don't know where it is.
And
yeah,
he knows good with what he's
running. I don't think we've had any problems there since we talked with them the last time. Any other concerns anybody has as they look down through this?
J&D Forms was Justin's other one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that Concrete Forms, or what is that about? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
I don't know either.
Legal counsel. Just like, you know, form letters.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing. He always got something up his sleeve. Usually he was rebuilding machines. Okay. Do we need to call out in the motion anything, or we'll just, I don't think we need to, do we?
If you have a motion, then we know we're covered.
Okay.
Just the motion to accept, I would motion to accept the conditional use permits, or renew them for another year. Is that what we're doing? So make a motion to renew these business permits for another year, assuming they come and pay the fee. Is that what
works? Any revision to that anybody needs to make? Or okay, we have a motion.
I'll second it.
Devin has made a motion and Lenny has seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Under business B, we have consideration discussion of proposed amendments to the land use ordinance. We invite Tyler to come join us. Or I don't know if you need to present what you want to do.
Yeah, let's go if that's okay. Going to this table again?
Yep.
Do you want to do the building permit while he's getting that up and running? Since we have one.
Yep.
And it's done.
Yep. So,
you need to make a motion for
review three. Conditional use permits. There aren't any, so we'll go to D, building permits. Looks like we have one that's a re-roof. Any question anybody has on that one?
I'll make a motion to accept the Rebecca Patterson re-roof.
Wade's made a motion.
I'll second.
Devin has seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay, now we'll go back to B. I know Wade has a bunch of changes he wants made to the beekeeping ordinance.
No, just cut that whole place. I remember you recording.
So I've made the majority of the changes that were discussed. There's a couple things that I wanted to highlight tonight and just have a discussion on. And I think we're about there. We've got it pretty well dialed in. So let me just scroll down. So one thing, Devin had made a comment about some clarity between accessory dwelling units and internal accessory dwelling units and what constituted accessory. If they used a breezeway, is that an accessory dwelling unit or an internal accessory dwelling unit? I added this line right here just for some additional clarity for purposes of this code, and an internal accessory dwelling unit shall be located entirely within the primary dwelling and shall share common structural walls, floors, or ceilings with the primary dwelling. Connections by breezeways or similar features do not qualify as internal or attached units. So hopefully that gives enough separation between the internal and the just detached accessory dwelling units.
Is that what you were looking for?
I don't know that as internal units, I don't know that we need or attached units.
Okay.
But just look at that closer.
Just say as internal accessory dwelling units.
Yeah, or IADs, you could just say. But yep.
Okay. Did I change anything there? Kent addressed this right here. Previous ordinances talk about calling for paved or brick parking area. This did have gravel as an option, and so I just changed that. We were discussing that before the meeting started. So it says parking areas shall be improved with asphalt or concrete to reduce dust and erosion. Do you want to add like brick or pavers or anything like that? Or
the old one did have. What does it say? It's right here. It said masonry or concrete pavers is what the old one said, but they were pretty specific on what type of pavers you could use.
For parking?
Yeah. This is for the accessory dwelling
unit.
Okay. This is just for the accessory dwelling unit. If you're going to do an accessory dwelling unit, then the old ordinance actually called out. It says specifically all off-street parking areas shall be paved with concrete, asphalt, masonry, or concrete pavers.
And the purpose of that is just to reduce dust?
Didn't say that here, but it's...
Reduce dust then?
I would get rid of that because it doesn't make any sense.
The reduce dust? Yeah, I don't.
Because if that was the case, you just call out a hardened surface and then leave that up to interpretation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the main reason is to keep people from parking on the side of the road.
You give them a dedicated space.
A space, and it's not going to be a big mud bog that's going to pull a bunch of mud out onto the road.
Or you know. It's somewhere where they can park. It's available all the time. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, and it's more stringent, actually, than it is for a primary dwelling, because we don't actually require a paved parking area for a primary dwelling. And so it is more stringent than just having what's on the books for the, you know, and I think that was done on purpose, though, when they created it.
So I agree. Do we want to add concrete pavers as an option? It would be different than masonry pavers.
Yeah, and again, that they've got masonry or concrete in here on the original, okay, as far as the pavers. So I guess the question is, how do we want that to read? What is it that we want in there? Because we had somebody who came in and asked to do one and wanted to just do gravel, and the answer was, it's got to be paved.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with mimicking that old one. I mean, someone put it in there and felt like it needed to be that way. If we feel that's still justified.
I think the way it reads right there looks good.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
Just different order.
Yeah. I like the fact that the way it's calling it out, which are pavers, because this one's a little more ambiguous. And it didn't, you know, masonry or concrete pavers, you know, with asphalt and cement before it, you know. So it just didn't, this reads better. And that's part of why we're doing this whole thing, is to get rid of all the ambiguities where people can say, well, yeah, I'm calling that a fence, you know.
Right.
So
I think this is Devin's comment that was I addressed earlier, that talked about breezeways and ADU versus IADU. Another thought, I rewrote the definitions for accessory dwelling unit and I detached it, just a regular accessory dwelling unit. If you like these definitions better than what we have already, I can swap them out. If you feel like that paragraph I put in that we reviewed just a minute ago was sufficient, and we don't need to worry about changing the definitions. There would be fairly redundant. I think I just rewrote these just to...
Go down a little bit. A structure connected to the primary. Oh, shall be considered. Okay, perfect. I was reading...
Detached, yeah.
I was reading shall not be still. I was like, wait, they're saying the same thing.
Like I said, with that sentence, I think it covers the town and creates that division a little bit clearer. But if you would like me to update the definitions in the definition section, I can do that with those two.
All right, go back up to that other highlighted one. That one there.
I think that was this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that. So go down. What did my comments say?
That was this comment.
Attached. My reading of the code indicates attached. Wait. Okay. But I had a comment on conditional use permits, and that there was one that didn't require my thought.
The internal accessory dwelling unit, you cannot, that's a permitted use regardless, like you can't require conditional use.
Yes. Okay, thank you. And this is for...
This is accessory dwelling unit.
Okay, so perfect.
And you can require a conditional use permit for that. If you don't want to, we can take it out. But
no, I think we should.
Okay.
But yeah, I just want to make sure that legally we were... Because before I think it was on both. I'm like, wait.
Yeah, they just changed this. Yeah, internal is the one that you can't require anything. It's just a permitted use.
Yeah.
There's a few conditions you can impose, but that's about it.
Perfect.
This has been going on a long time.
This was one of...
Am I sorry I started it?
No, it's going to be good when it's done, though, tonight.
It will be.
Right?
Okay. Tonight. I'll tell you, I've been helping another town for it took me working with them for a year and a half to get the initial set of land use ordinances in place. They had zero land use ordinances governing the town, so we went from scratch, a year and a half. We get them adopted. 2 months later, they get a new planning commission, and then the planning commission wants to revisit. So I've been doing it for the last year and a half, so it's a 3-year process.
Wow.
You guys are a breeze.
Job security.
Breeze away.
Yeah, for real. Okay, so this is one thing that I wanted to chat about. So it says, each lot shall access a street by means of its own right-of-way or access strip. Successive stacking of lots on the same right-of-way access strip is not permitted.
This is in flag lots?
Yes.
Is there a reason you wouldn't allow an easement? Or is that what you're considering a right-of-way?
It would be an easement back. But what this is saying is you could not have, so say you have an easement going to two properties. Mm-hmm. On the flag lot, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got a house that owns up here or somewhere. There's easement down the side, and then there's two properties stacked or somehow. There's two right in the back. This only allows for one property off of a flag.
So that's kind of a discussion.
Is that what you're trying to say in that highlighted section?
That's what that says right now, yeah.
This says it's only one is allowed, so you can only have a private drive to a single...
Each lot has an access. Lot. Oh, okay, its own right away.
Yeah. So if Wells want to put in a neighbor and then extend the street.
That makes sense. Okay.
And then Kent posted that there is a situation where at least two homes are using a private access owned by a third homeowner. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up to the Planning Commission and see if we want to leave it as one, if we want to bump that to two. The one that's existing obviously would be
grandfathered in,
so this would just be affecting going forward
for the future.
It's a good conversation to have, just to make sure.
I think leave it.
What's that?
I think leave it what you have.
I don't really see. I mean, I'm a little indifferent, but I mean, I don't see a real good reason not to allow it.
We're going to create a cul-de-sac situation where they got to have a great big turnaround.
If it's more than one, then you'd have to do a cul-de-sac. That's basically what we're saying.
Yeah.
Well, even as with one, technically this is saying you have to do that too.
Yeah.
The drive.
Depending on the length of it.
It has to meet state fire code, right?
Yeah.
And do we state that anywhere in here, Tyler, that it has to meet state fire code?
I did put that. I don't remember exactly where it was, but...
Right there. Mm. 11-309.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I changed that, so that one does.
So either way...
So even if it's a private one and it's longer than 150 feet, right? They've got to have a turnaround.
Well, this is
not
regardless of how long it is, they have to have a turnaround. Mm-hmm. What this is saying.
Well,
What is the state fire code? I thought there was a distance. Is it 75 feet, 50 feet? What is it where you don't need a turnaround?
That's a good question.
I think it was 150.
I thought it was 150. If it was beyond 150, then you have to put a turnaround in. But if it's less, then you don't need the turnaround.
Okay.
That's what I remember from when we did the cul-de-sac.
So potentially they would not have to.
If it's up to 150 feet. But if it's beyond 150 feet, then it would have to put a turnaround in, a cul-de-sac-sized turnaround in, if that flag is longer than 150 feet to meet the state fire code.
Yeah, but AI's saying. Anything over 150 feet in length, you need to meet the fire code with the minimum diameter cul-de-sac.
But
that said, less than 150 feet.
Basically, what you're doing here is you're saying that if it's just a single private drive, they can't go past the 150 feet, which they wouldn't have to put a cul-de-sac in regardless.
Any flag lot has to be 150 feet or less.
So is that misleading by saying you shall comply with UDOT fire code? If it's 150 feet, the fire code doesn't, what part of the fire code, because it doesn't require cul-de-sacs if it's under 150 feet.
There are some wind requirements that it might be smart just to be outlining in there.
Mm-hmm. And then if they change something, then we're still stipulating it still has to follow the fire code regardless of this.
Because so it may not require, but at least just go through a checklist of what is going to be required.
Yeah. That's the thought process of referencing the fire code.
Okay.
We'll leave that way, and everyone's okay with leaving. This is just one, not an additional high end.
Okay. They're not supposed to be there till 8.
It's all right. If Wade can't hear, then we'll say something.
Yeah, let's put it in our condition.
I'm happy to.
Do not.
This one we talked about a little bit. Devin brought it up. Do we need to note on what class of misdemeanor or fine it may bear? I looked through Sevier County stuff and chatted with their code enforcement. Most of theirs are class B or C misdemeanors, but they don't cite that in their code or ordinances just because it can vary.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's on purpose or why they do that, but I just left it as guilty of a misdemeanor. We could take that out if you want to just go fine-based. I don't know how many, if any, land use disputes actually go to the point where they're getting a misdemeanor. Most of the time it's notices and fines or an abatement. That may be something that we can really completely. I just want to bring that up and see what your guys' thoughts are.
I mean, we all laugh that it's ambiguous. You know, but if ambiguous is good, then I guess, you know, maybe that's the way to leave it. I think the point we made was, are there any teeth to any of this? You know, in other words, if somebody's not doing, you know, something, violating something in here, there's nothing in here that says it's going to be this much money.
Yeah.
It's all left to whatever the case may be. And I don't even think we have a fines and fees list that the town has. Necessarily that we can even reference that.
Annabelle Town's contract with the treasurer, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he follows his process that he does with county code enforcement, I assume.
Yeah.
Do we want to say that in here? Like,
that might be good to rewrite this and just outline code enforcement is done by a contracted employee. And I could get some verbiage from Trevor and see if he could write something up for me. That would be in line with what he's doing. Because I know the majority of his enforcement, 99% of it doesn't touch the court system.
Yeah.
It's all notices, fees, and abatements. The only ones that I know of that actually have gone to court are housing related in the Elsinore edition. I don't even know if that's a misdemeanor charge. He's just having KCG 10.
Let's change it.
Change it. Okay.
I think so.
What do you think?
Okay.
I'll make a note to talk to Trevor and have him write something
up.
Okay. The count is.
Yeah. The only other comment was, Kent said that there was a schedule showing how many animals that a lot can have based on the lot size. I looked through your stuff on CivicLink, and I couldn't find a chart anywhere. If there is one, we can definitely talk.
It's in the text of the... This is not the land use ordinance. It's in the other one. It's in the town code, I think.
So it's not under the municipal code. It's under...
It's weird, and it's hard to find.
In the subdivision ordinance or the land use ordinance?
I thought it was the town code.
I know I read it someplace.
Yeah, no, it's in a paragraph form somewhere where it talks about animal units and the like so many chickens or a unit, so many cows.
So many sheep.
Mm-hmm.
One pig, yeah.
Yeah, one pig.
Three emus.
No more than, yeah. I don't think emus are...
No, but it's in this, wherever you are, that's where it's at.
Yep, municipal code, animals. And it's in here, maybe in 6.4.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. I looked through here, and it definitely wasn't like clearly
outlined. Let's see. It was in a paragraph where it said all had kind of individually called out of what you could do based on the lot size.
Oh, it's in the land use ordinance.
Did you find it?
Yep, but then it opened and I can't see it anymore.
It's under land use?
I don't have the most up-to-date one.
I searched for animal unit. That's where it's at. It's in the definitions.
Yeah, animal unit. It just says one animal excluding nursing young until 6 months old, one cow, one horse, two sheep, two goats. Yep. But it doesn't say, unless it's somewhere with a reference, depending on the lot size, what your animal unit can be.
Yeah, and I think that's...
Well, that's in a different table. That's why it's confusing.
Do you have one horse?
One horse. One cow, one horse.
For half?
Horse equals an animal unit.
One, it just defines one animal unit.
Can you have on...
How many animal units on the same property?
And so that is on the 1.1, the different zones. That's in your zone chart.
Yeah.
How many units you can have.
So a half acre.
What's that in? Is that in here?
It's just not intuitive, and that's... Maybe we should change that.
That's the reason I was saying, do we need a chart? Is that what I was asking?
It would probably be cleaner. So nobody's ever just looking.
Mm-hmm. Good luck finding them.
6-700 is how big your property has to be per animal unit.
In the land use code?
In the land use still.
Yeah, there it is.
6-700.
So, domestic animals for pets and family food production are as follows. 6 animal units per 30,000 to 40,000 square feet. It shall be the owner's responsibility to maintain fences, enclosures. On lots less than 7/10 of a contiguous acre, a total of 2 animal units will be allowed, provided that the animals are kept no closer than 40 feet from any neighbor's human dwelling.
I think we should change the definition and change this so that the text is still there, but all of the stats are in a table under this right here.
So we need a half acre, 3/4, 1 acre, and then animal units, and then have underneath that the definition of what the animal units are. Even though we have them in the definition up front, let's put them on the table as well.
Sounds good. I'll add that as an appendix. Okay, I think that was all the discussion items. I've made all the additional changes that Kent had posted about.
Most of those were just stupid little changes. Period here, capital letter here, you know, that kind of stuff.
I've ran through these quite a few times, and I feel like they're...
So I think at this point, you know, you probably need a link to it, or I guess the one that the working copy.
Oh, the working copy.
Yeah. I can
share it with you right now. What's your email address?
Just go lfryant@gmail.com.
So what I'm proposing, he's going to make some adjustments that we've talked about tonight, but I'm proposing that we all read through it so that we can, next meeting, just say, okay, everything looks good, compare against whatever, make sure that we've got everything covered, I's dotted, T's crossed.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we can push it to the town council for their review and approval.
Do you want this ready for public hearing at your next planning commission meeting, or do you want to do that not next, but
I think we're 2 out of
all of
not next, but the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the next one will be dunk, and then...
Yep.
We need to do another public hearing for that other thing, don't we?
The Lulee Code?
Yeah. Yeah. Would we add that?
And one thing, so I've got Thomas Peterson coming to your February 12th meeting to discuss the Lulee Code.
Okay.
One thing I'll suggest, there is a bill in the legislature right now changing it from the 2006 WUI code to the 2024 WUI code.
Okay.
It might not hurt to
define WUI code.
Yeah, well, that sounds so weird.
Sorry, Wildland Urban Interface Code. So it's basically dictating the town has to create a map of the town boundary where you're designating where, like, the town meets up with the wildland urban interface, so close enough to, like, the base of the hill.
Wildfire containment type stuff.
Oh, okay.
That's about
wildlife. There was a bill last year in the legislature that required all towns to adopt what's called the 2006 version of the WUI code, and it kind of got pushed down the road until, like, last month, and everyone's been scrambling. The more that we've read into it and talked to people, there's a pretty good chance it's going to change to the 2024 WUI code this legislative session.
So as far as, you know, we're required to do something, but we can join in with the county if the county's doing something, and the county is starting the process to put something together. So we can just attach to whatever they're doing if we like what they're doing. If we want to do something more restrictive or whatever, call out whatever our own plan is, we can do our own plan. But that's what we need to look at. How far along is the county?
I think they are about done with their core plan, and then they were adding each individual city and town in the county as an appendix, and it sounded like they were starting to work on that process. I haven't talked to Trevor.
Are they going to solicit input from the towns, or they're just going to add the towns? Do I just need to talk to their planning commission to find out what they're doing? Or
that's a good question. Thomas made it seem like Forestry Fire and State Lands was handling the bulk of it, so I don't know who they're working with. It's Jason McElroy, or if it is the Planning Commission.
Okay.
I feel like they should give you an opportunity to comment and make any changes to if they're going to add you to their plan.
Yeah.
But I'm not
especially the map, you know, what's considered high risk inside the town boundary and all of that.
And I think you'll probably have to make your own map regardless of whether you're in the county's plan.
Okay.
Because that's part of that. You'll adopt the WUI code and a map designating areas in town if there are any that are.
So there is a map available online. It's an interactive map.
It's horrible, though.
I mean, it's trying to work your way through. You look at one place and it lists out color codes, and then you go in and you look in another one and put your address in, and those color codes don't match. So I think we just need to decide what falls in. There's some guidelines that we looked at for that. And then again, a lot of this doesn't necessarily fall on us for those definitions as much as it does on the town council. So we may not get too involved in some of this stuff unless the town council decides we need to get involved in it. But we do need to do an adoption of either the 2006 or the 2024. But it sounds like rather than adopting the 2006, let's just wait a few days and find out what the legislature is going to do before we do that.
That was what Forestry Fire and State Line recommended. They have like a December 31st deadline for this, and they kind of backed off of that and basically said.
So I think the key thing is, like, for instance, over in Marysville, when they had the fire there, they had adopted an area and worked with and done their map and done everything so that when the fire happened, they were able to collect, you know, not have to pay for all of the things that had to be done because they'd already done all of these things. There was money available to help with the reconstruction and things in those areas. Now, the other thing that the legislature's done, this is the map where you push in and it looks different depending on where you push in. But, you know, the other thing is the legislature saying that homeowners are going to start getting fees added to their property taxes if they're in these highly restricted areas. And then the homeowners have the ability to work with an agency or somebody,
Forestry Fire,
that they'll come out and help talk through what the mitigation plan is to fix things. And then that can lower the fees that they have to pay, because that's how the legislature was planning on funding this, is by charging these 60 or 80,000 homes that are in within the restricted areas extra fees for being in those restricted areas. But again, you can lower your fee schedule that's going to be charged by showing that you've worked with them and you've tried to mitigate what your risks are. And so I think that's more what we probably want to do as a town is first of all, we're going to have to work on defining whatever those are. And again, that could be town council that does that or us. But help the town to understand who's in those areas and what they can do to lower the cost that they're going to be assessed so that they can minimize all of those fees. Because not the whole town's going to be that red zone, for instance, covers a good portion of the south and that eastern side.
All I see is my house. Right in the middle of the red.
Is that on your stop? Or is that your house?
And yet.
Yeah.
Right? Like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's just it. So having somebody come in, since you're in that red zone that somebody's arbitrarily put there, that they can come in and say, okay, yeah, here's the things. And one of the things kind of talked through what you could do, if I remember right, was I read through some of them. They were like, you got to be 100 feet is like one of them from the brush and different things like that. So the people who are right up against that back south edge are going to be the people who really have more things to mitigate than somebody who's a little bit further in but still in the red. But again, that's bringing in this third-party guy to talk through it from the estate agency will help you to know, because he'll get a document, all that kind of stuff. And I don't think there's a fee for them to come in.
But I don't know. I think the inspectors are paid from the fee that's assessed on the property taxes. I think that's the plan. They're reworking their costs. Yeah, I don't think it's super urgent. I think we can talk more about this, especially adopting the Wooly Code. We can wait until if the legislature is going to pass that.
We've got to wait and see what is going to come out, right?
Yeah, because otherwise we're going to adopt something and maybe have to change it the next month.
Yeah. I'd say the legislative session will be done March, so we can look at that in April and adopt it. If the bill passes that's out right now that's changing to the 2024, we can do that, and otherwise we can just adopt the 06 one.
I would imagine there's going to be changes because there was probably a lot of public pushback after they did what they did last year, and so people weren't happy about the way that rolled out.
I think that's all I've got for you guys, unless you have any other questions, comments, or concerns.
I'm good. Good. Yeah, thanks for your work.
You bet. We'll make sure those changes in the next meeting.
Sounds good. Okay. Thanks again, Tyler. Does anybody have any other business that they want to talk about in general? Okay. If that's the case, then I would accept a
motion to adjourn.
Hey, can we kick them out first?
Huh?
Can we kick them out first?
No.
That's why we have this.
I know.
That's why we have this place. Let them do it.
We have a motion and a second?
I'll second.
So, Lyndon second, Wade made the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
So I guess homework, you'll update this, and then we just need to...
Just go through it and just review, see if there's anything. We tried to catch, if there's anything ambiguous in there that you see, just make a comment. We certainly have been through it a few times, but that doesn't mean...